Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Brenda, that always just gladdens my heart, that wonderful music.
So good.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. I'm Chris Alford, and I'm the host of the program, also the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Evangelical Church. We're a Jesus-loving, Bible-believing church. We'd love to have you come join us sometime. Each week on this program, I love to bring you special guests, and one of my favorites is back in the studio today, Brenda Zamorano. Hi, Brenda. Welcome.
Well, hello. It's so good to be together again.
It is. It feels like it's been forever, but it's been a month or so, right?
Yes.
As usual, Brenda, I bring you glad tidings of how far and wide is the impact of these wonderful conversations we've been having. I hear that. And then you told me a few minutes ago that, well, you're hearing that people are benefiting from it as well.
It's so amazing how this technology allows us to have impact beyond just our immediate moments.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that when I'm with someone and they're struggling and I've got a tool that I can hand over to them, I love being able to encourage people any way we can.
Yeah, what Brenda is talking about is that you can go back and listen to our previous conversations as well as other editions of Ancient Future Faith on the Epiclesis website. That's epiclesis.org. Just zip over there and find resources and then podcasts. And we've talked about, goodness, Brenda, striving and not worrying and fear and all kinds of helpful things. And like you, I send people there because you are wonderful to listen to. And we've had some really Holy Spirit inspired conversations, and I think it'd be helpful for folks. Today is another wonderful and deep topic, yeah?
Yes, Chris, I had said to you, God has really been speaking to me personally mm-hmm. about the importance of us needing mercy in 2022.
Mercy, mercy, mercy. Yeah, we need mercy. Mm-hmm. You know, when most people think of mercy, I can imagine that they might see something in action, like you're going to have some compassion for someone. But I'll bet you're going to tell us that it's a lot bigger than just simply an act of compassion or something like that, right?
Mercy is necessary to navigate life.
What do you mean by that?
That mercy is an attribute of God himself.
Oh, wow. We need to camp out there just a second. Well, you said two really important things, that mercy is necessary even to be able to navigate life.
Yes.
Which may be especially why we need to hear it in 2022.
Yes. Goodness.
But that it's also an attribute of God?
Yes. Mercy is not a mood of God.
Wow.
Mercy is who God was in the beginning before anyone was there.
What do you mean it's not a mood?
The reason I have to face that, because I've had a tendency to project onto God my humanity.
Like that mercy is a feeling
right.
of God. Okay.
Right. That's right. And that so I want to generate some kind of an emotion in order to be merciful to someone. And what I just bring out of what the Lord's speaking to me is that mercy is the place I meet God himself when I face my own weakness, sin, and brokenness.
Well, let's hold off on that just a second and circle back to that really profound thing you said a minute ago, that mercy is not a mood of God, but one of his attributes. You want to just
Correct.
Speak to that just a minute? It's in his makeup, as it were.
That in the beginning, mercy was there because mercy is part of who God is.
Yeah, from the beginning. And you said before there were even any people.
Yes.
To be merciful to.
Right.
It's part of who he is.
That's correct.
Mm.
And so the point is, in my relationship with him, when we look at scripture, we find out that it matters to God that I receive his mercy so that then I can be merciful to others.
Okay. Sounds like there are some little steps in there. Like, for example, a minute ago, you said it is in the place of or where mercy is, if I can say it that way, where I meet God. Did I get it right? And what do you mean by that exactly?
So I think what helps me a lot is that understanding God's mercy requires me facing my natural tendency to live independent of God and do what I want.
Ooh, that's good. You better say that again.
Yes.
That's really good. Yeah. Can you restate that? Yeah.
So understanding God's mercy requires me facing my natural tendency to live independent of God and do what I want.
So that's our natural bent.
Yes.
Since the garden.
And see, my fallen nature is the realm of my human will.
Yes.
And when I exercise my human will apart from God, that right to live self-focused is what Jesus had to come and die on the cross for.
Indeed. I can imagine that our unwillingness to face those things, which keep us from being in the place of meeting with God in his mercy, I can imagine that there are lots of places and spaces and things about our society that might crop up there. I want you to think on that a second while I remind people that they're listening to Ancient Future Faith. It's a ministry of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church, evangelical, Bible, believe in Jesus, love a church in Sacramento, California. We'd love to have you come visit with us on a Sunday morning at 10:30. You can find all the information about that at our website, including, by the way, the podcast I was talking about at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. Brenda, just before the break there, I was reflecting on what you said about before I can experience God's mercy, I have to face some things about myself that I might not want to. And then therefore, I'm thinking there are some people who are going to find that too difficult and maybe not even know they need God's mercy.
I think here's something that I'm just chewing on these days. Mm-hmm. I would not know what mercy is unless I faced the fact that I needed it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go again. Another wonderful nugget. You better say that one again, too.
We're looking at how mercy is a component in living life well, whereby I am so tempted to hide my need for mercy. I try to do my life like I don't need mercy from God or other people. So when I face the fact that mercy is a really important part of how I keep pushing forward in all the greatness that God has called me to, and then I'm able to turn and give that mercy to the people around me.
And yet there's a bunch of folks, Christians even, I guess, who don't even realize that they need God's mercy. And you're saying it's entirely important because that's the place really when we meet with God is in his mercy. Let me ask you this. There's got to be 1,001 things about our society or the way we do business in the world or whatever that keep us from facing the fact that we need mercy. Could you just off the top of your noggin name some of those? I mean, what keeps us from saying, I need God's mercy?
So everything in us wants to run from pain, because in the garden, in the beginning, there was no pain.
Right.
We know that pain came in through the woman and the man exercising that will and making a decision. No, I'm going to eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So without facing pain, guilt, tears, suffering in our personal lives, we would never know the mercy of God.
And if we keep pushing those things down or ignoring them or pretending they're not there or whatever, we keep ourselves from knowing the mercy of God. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what we do is we keep ourselves stuck in pain because let's face it, we in 2022, we're all very aware everything is being shaken on many, many levels.
You bet.
And so you and I in our arenas of life, we love people and we would like to appeal to them that when they come honestly and openly, they're going to experience the mercy of God through his son, Jesus Christ.
So pain, tears, those are some things that keep us from even realizing that we need God's mercy. Are there others? I'm thinking about just the general narcissism of our society where we just think we're all that in a bag of chips. And if I'm all that, then I don't need anything from God except if I really get in trouble, right? I don't need his mercy, for heaven's sakes.
Well, I think a big part of human nature is how we hide the broken and sad, depressed parts of ourselves. And we try to put on a persona, I call it the imposter, so that you think that I'm more than what I am.
Or different than what I am.
Yes. Mm. And for all of us, we're searching for meaning and purpose. And the enemy uses our hiding, which is called shame, against us.
And that goes right back to the garden as well. Mm. Let's talk a little bit more about shame, but I also want to circle back to the business of the imposter. Would it be fair to say that it is that false persona that probably we ourselves have constructed, the imposter, that keeps us from receiving God's grace because the imposter doesn't want us to believe that we even have a need of grace?
Exactly right.
Yeah, okay.
It's so true. I know in my childhood, I went to work internally and tried to put together a person that my teachers, my parents, and other people would choose. And it's so much of it's unconscious. By the time you're junior high, high school, and young adult, you don't even know who you really are.
No. And by the way, and I know that's not the topic for today, but that's exactly the place, the nexus where the enemy works these days.
Yes.
As people are building their own imposter, the enemy wants to come along and add some
lies,
dressing.
Because that's all he can do. So the imposter's role is to protect me. But guess what? The imposter can't protect me. Only God can protect me. So it's the mercy of God that allows circumstances, he never causes them, but he allows circumstances to push up against all of that fake and phony and invite each of us to start coming into the discovery. Oh, I've got to stop hiding. Oh, God, I need your mercy. And God is so kind and he's so merciful. And he loves to be invited into every single broken, messy place because he redeems and he heals.
Where does shame fit into that? Is shame part of the imposter? Is shame part of what fuels that imposter?
That root of shame is what causes that child to need the imposter. Because the big lie, Chris, is I'm not enough.
Yeah.
I don't have what it takes. I don't belong here. I'm not like all of you. You seem to all have it together, and I know I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus says in Matthew 7, many are going to say, I prophesied, cast out demons, I call you Lord. And he's going to say to them, I don't know you. Because see, God created you. Then he sent his son and died on a cross in your place.
Mm.
He's done everything for you. That's how important you are, your life, and your future is to him. Mm. And he wants to invite you to come to him so that every part of you can be restored.
Folks, you're listening to a wonderful conversation with my friend and biblical prayer counselor, Brenda Zamorano. She joins me on this program from time to time. We talk about things that it seems to me so many of these things go all the way back to the garden. And let's say right now there's somebody out there who has built a pretty sophisticated imposter. And they may have some shame about something or other, or they're just absolutely convinced that everybody else in the room has got it all together and I'm not even worthy of God's mercy, so I'm not even going to think about needing mercy. And they've set up all these obstacles you say that we can't get to the place of understanding that we even need God's mercy unless we face some of these things. What are you going to say to that person?
First of all, I would say to you, do you believe that God is merciful? Because if you really believe that God is merciful, wherever you are right now, whatever mess is going on, whatever broken relationship, whatever physical illness, whatever you're facing, you can right now say to Jesus himself, Lord Jesus, I need your mercy. And you can ask him for his mercy. You get to talk with him directly because you see he already has sent to you everything you need. His name is Holy Spirit. Even the fact you're hearing this is wooing you and inviting you to step out of that hiding and that darkness.
And the shame. And, oh, beloved, admit your shame. Admit the imposter and then banish him or her. And do like you're saying. Just simply say, oh, Jesus, I need your mercy. I finally get it. I really do need your mercy.
Lamentations chapter 3 declares, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Mm. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning because the Lord knows that which you're dealing with, and he is with you, and he is full of abundant mercy. His mercy triumphs over everything that's trying to come against you. If you let him be at the center of you.
Everybody needs God's mercy, yeah.
So what you believe about God's mercy impacts how you experience it. So that is why I know in my life, I want to study what the Word says about the character of God.
Mm.
Because the Bible says the character of God, he is merciful before there was anyone ever created. And so he creates sons and daughters to show them his mercy. He's not shocked by what you're in need of. He knows everything. He loves to be merciful, but you have to let him show you mercy.
And so often it is our shame and or feeling less than that keeps us from even asking God for his mercy. So many times as a pastor, I've met with people who just say, well, I'm just, I don't feel worthy to even talk to God. And my goodness, there's that old nasty shame thing keeping people from wanting to be with God. It goes right back to our first parents, doesn't it? They were naked. They made little coverings and they were ashamed.
Well, but guess what? What really can kind of offend me when I say this out loud to myself, but the shame that wars against me also is going to speak about my pride.
Oh, wow. That's really important.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that just feels right to me, but can you tell me what you mean?
Here I am believing that I'm so less than, that all that the Word of God declares God is and has done for me is not enough for me. What human pride is that?
It's the pinnacle of pride,
oh my
isn't it?
Goodness.
And how like the enemy to somehow take shame and really make it all about us. You're right about that.
So Chris, we decide. That's what that knowledge of good and evil did. Because there those two are face to face with God every day, and they decide based on the serpent that God's really holding out something good from them, knowing good and evil. And now we know because we've inherited that fallen state that that fruit was deadly.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to rely any longer on what we think. That's my appeal to everyone.
Yeah.
What I want to learn to do is develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit where I'm talking to him more than I'm relying upon Brenda.
Well said.
See, what I get to see at Hope and Life Ministry is how different people will come in because they've tried everything and the pain is increasing. So they come in and the beauty of them, I call it the gift of coming to the end of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And you sit with one other person is all you need. But when you can see that the Spirit of Jesus is in that person and their motive is for your healing, because everyone hearing my voice, I promise you, you were created by the Father to live in a great destiny. And the enemy is warred against that great destiny your whole life. And the Father loves through the ministry of his Son to invite you into coming into the end of you. Because he is going to be so much better to you than you could ever be to you. And he's going to surprise you with how his mercy will be demonstrated by bringing real healing to your innermost being. It's called peace, mental well-being, joy.
You folks listening right now, I want you to see if any of these apply. You have invented a pretty darn good imposter. And or you're in a place of shame, and you may be in that place of pain, because Brenda, pain's connected here as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. Shame is pain. Human pain invites divine mercy.
So listen, if you are in that place, don't hide in shame or pain, but let that shame and pain invite God's mercy. And maybe, Brenda, right now, somebody just needs to say, God, I am in need of your mercy. Let's do this, Brenda. Let's take a minute, and would you lead us in prayer? Somebody might be listening and say, that's exactly what I need right now. I've come to the end of myself. And beloved, when you come to the end of yourself, that's where God tabernacles. Scripture says so.
Lord Jesus, I thank you that you modeled for us the courage to be real. You came in such an ordinary way that it offended the people around you. And Lord Jesus, I believe that here in 2022, you are with us. And I pray right now that God, you would release your supernatural mercy over all of us. And Lord, I pray that your mercy would be like honey dripping from heaven that would come down upon all the hurting, bitter, estranged parts of us, and that you would grant us the grace to run to you. We just repent for running from you. We repent for trying to do it on our own and think we know better. And we really ask, Lord, that you would grant us courage to come into the light, because you said when we're in the light, we have fellowship with you, and your blood cleanses us from everything that is warring against us. I bless everyone listening to our voice here today with the knowledge of God, releasing the mercy of the Son of God over their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Beloved, you are in need of mercy. Put down the shame and the pain. Say no to the imposter and just ask the Lord Jesus. Brenda, such a pleasure as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What a special time to be together.
Yeah, indeed. I can't wait for the next one. Until then, folks, I want you to be thinking about this, would you? Surely the road to our Christian future must and does run through our ancient Christian past. Would love you to come experience ancient future worship at Epiclesis. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at ancient future faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Christmas is over, right? So what happens next? Well, one ancient future thing about our celebration is that Christmas doesn't end with a whimper or roll quietly to a stop. It ends with a big bang called Epiphany, the wonderful season that celebrates the revelation of Jesus Christ. Join us for worship during Epiphany. And by the way, our Sunday morning discipleship series is starting up, and I'd love for you to be a part. As always, get more details on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next time for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.